All right, we are ready to begin. Welcome, everybody, to Mo Adon Ivri, Club Hebrew. We are in Amos chapter 5, and we're going to finish chapter 5 today. That's our goal. We're starting at verse 18. Remember, we ended last week with the little passage, the Lakain, therefore, where God gives this declaration based on what he had said before about the injustices that had been happening in Israel. All right? And remember that little Lakain passage, verses 16 and 17, talks about the mourning and the wailing and the grieving that is going to happen in Israel when Yahweh passes over in their midst. So notice verse 17 ends, "For I will pass over in your midst, says Yahweh." That immediately segues into this little piece about the day of the Lord, which is, of course, also, it links thematically because the day of the Lord is when Yahweh comes, either for judgment or salvation. So here you see how he talks about the day of the Lord. Verse 18 then. Hoy ha mit avimet yom aronai lamaze lakim yom aronai hu choshek velo or. Hoy, woe. All right, this is not just a sigh or something. Notice that it's stronger than that because what follows it is almost promise or oath, so it's kind of very strong threat or warning. Ha mit avim, and notice that the root of this is aleph, vav, he, ava, ava, to desire. This is a hitpael participle, and it's used as a substantive, which is why it has the definite article. Oh, woe you who desire. Ha mit avim, you who desire the day of Yahweh. Okay? Now notice the syntax in the next five words. Lama ze lakem yom Yahweh. So the ze strengthens the question. Something like, in English, notice we say why in the world to strengthen that. So it's kind of like that. Lama ze. Why in the world to you the day of the Lord? And notice that lakem is kind of like a dative of disadvantage. So something like, what good is the day of the Lord to you? Or maybe even, so the syntax kind of occurs in another place in Genesis, which is similar to that. Notice he's making a comment. He's not asking, why do you want the day of the Lord? He's basically saying, what good is it going to do to you? Or what does the day of the Lord have to do with you? You've seen that kind of idiom as well, all right? And here's why he says that. The who refers back to Yom. It is choshek ve-lo or. It is darkness, or it will be darkness and not light. All right? Any questions through 18? Everybody see the syntax and what's going here? Here comes a famous passage in the next couple of verses. Ka'asher yanus ish mipnei ha'ari u fega'o hadov uva habait ve'samak yado al hakir u neshako hanachash. Hey, Kelly. All right, so we're on verse 19 of chapter 5. So now notice how he starts describing this. Ka'asher, as when. As when Yanus Ish, as when a man flees. This is, notice Yanus is from noose and a simple call, imperfect. There's a comma under the yud, as you conventionally see with hollow verbs. As when a man flees, mipne ha'ari, from before the lion. Okay. Upega'o ha'dov, dov is bear. And the bear, pega'o, meets him. Paga, again, a simple call. Perfect, third masculine singular with a third masculine singular suffix. So it's as when a man is fleeing before the lion and the bear meets him. All right, notice the definite article on both Ari and Dove refers to kind of a class of, we would say something like that. We use the definite article for that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. All right, the next line of verse 19, Uva Habait. V'samak yado al hakir u neshako hanachash. And he comes, again from Bo, simple call. Notice how they all follow with the imperfect yanu, so you have these vav plus perfects kind of, and notice he's being sequential, So as when a man flees before the bear, and then, so you could almost add that, the bear meets him. And then he enters Habait, the house, and then Samak Yado al-Hakir, and he puts his hand, Samak, third masculine singer, he puts his hand on the kir, on the wall, Uneshako ha-Nachash, and the serpent bites him, Nashak, means to bite or strike. All right? So I suppose you're thinking of a situation which you have mud, bricks and stuff for the side of the house, mm-hmm. snake crawls in there. That would be very frightening to get in there, put your hand against the wall and have a snake bite it. Notice how the string ends there, that even though you think you're safe, you're going to get it in the end. That's what the day of the Lord will be like. So, you know, you think you're away from the lion and the bear gets you. You think you're safe from the bear because you're in your house and then the snake gets you. Kind of the last thing there, the most deadly. All right, any questions through 19?
Yeah, I have a yeah. question. You got the uva habayit.
Yes.
Why is there no preposition before habayit?
Again, in Hebrew, a lot of times you don't have it.
It's just assumed.
Yep. Comes into the house, right. Happens all over the place. Verse 20. Halo choshek yom Adonai velo or v'afel velo nogalo. Is it not darkness, namely the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord, is it not choshek, darkness, and not light? Again, contrary to the expectations of the people he was talking to. It's going to be a day of darkness for them. And afail, and gloom, and lo, nogach lo. And there is no nogach, no brightness to it. So there's no verbs in that line. So the day of the Lord, is it not darkness and not light and gloom, and there is no nogach to it, no brightness to it. All right? Questions? He starts, even as the editors indicate here, there's kind of a different thought starting out in verse 21. Saneti ma'asti chagekem velo ariach be'atzrotekem. I hate, I reject your feasts. All right, notice that saneti and ma'asti form almost a hendiates. I reject with hatred or something like that. And some translations will translate it that way. But you can do both verbs as well. I hate, I reject your feasts. Velo ariach, and I do not approve of. This is from the hollow verb riach. Again, it's a call imperfect. That's why the comments is under the prefix there. Mm-hmm. All right, remember this is where you have that riach nikoach, when Yahweh is pleased with your sacrifices, they send up a sweet savor to him. So that word is based on this root. Okay, so I hate, I reject your festivals, and I do not approve of your assemblies. Atzara is the singular term. Okay, so these would be solemn assemblies or assemblies for worship for various reasons. Any questions through 21? Okay, 22. Ki im ta'lu li olot u'mitchotekem lo ertzeh v'shelon meri'ekem lo abit. For if you offer up to me sacrifices, so ta'alu is from the root Allah. Everybody see that? And remember in the call, it means to go up. This is a hifil, to bring up, and it's a common word used with when you offer up sacrifices. Okay? For if you offer to me olot, burnt offerings, even min chotekem, your gifts, not will I find pleasing or be pleased with. Erzeh. Okay? Veshalom, that's, notice you can see the word shalom or shalom there, peace offerings. And the peace offerings of Meri-Ekem. Meri is a calf. So the peace offerings of your calves, your fatlings, you know, those fat calves that are ready to go. Not Abit, I will not regard them or look at them. This is from the root navat. Everybody see it's a first nun root. Mm-hmm. And it's a hifil imperfect. And the nun has assimilated. Okay. For if you bring to me offerings or your gifts, I will not be pleased. And you have to understand with them. And the peace offerings, the peace offerings or the fellowship offerings of your fatted calves, I will not regard. I will not look at them. Okay, verse 23. Haser me'alai hamon shereka vezimrat nevaleka lo eshma. Haser is from the root sur. Everybody see that? That is a hifil imperative. That's why it's a short form. Remove. Sur means to turn. Remember, hifil means to remove from upon me the... Now, hamon has a lot of English glosses, but here it means something like the noise of shir reka, your songs. So remove from me the noise of your songs. Or you might say, I mean, if you wanted to translate more idiomatic English, your noisy songs. You know, they're just clat, you know. So some translate hamon as the din of your psalms. That's a little more negative English term. Vezimrat, melody of your nevalim harps or lyres, and the melody of your lyres, lo eshma, I will not listen to. I would probably say, I will not listen to the melody of your lyres. So notice that's the music that accompanies their worship. Okay. Verse 24. Ve'yigal kamay mishpat u'tzedeka ke'nachal etan. Ve'yagal. Everybody see that? That's from the root galal. Galal. To roll. And this is a nifal form. The call form means has an object with it. To roll that apple or to roll a rock or something. The nifal is intransitive, to roll around on the ground. The subject is mishpat. And notice the word order. Very often when you have short prepositional phrases or things like that, they will come after the verb. And let roll like waters judgment or justice, i.e., let justice roll like the waters. And I assume he's referring to the waves of the ocean. You know, they kind of roll over and keep rolling. And righteousness like a nachal etan. Nachal is a wadi or a river. Etan is a hard flowing or ever flowing nachal. Okay, so let justice roll like waters. That's a nifal, yigal, from galal. And that's the regular way that an imperfect or justice, in this case, nifal is formed. So let justice roll like waters and righteousness like a river never ending. Never ending river. Or stream.
You know why it starts with the noun there, the subject?
You mean in...
like righteousness.
Oh, righteousness. Yeah. So notice what it forms a chiasm, kind of. So let like waters, let roll like waters justice and righteousness. See, it puts them together. And righteousness like a stream never flowing. See, notice you have to understand the verb. But if you put your thumb or finger over the first verb, see how it forms that chiasm? Mm-hmm. You have the ka, my, mishpat, tzedekah, mm-hmm. ke, nachal, etan. Okay? And again, the chiasms help structure your thought, so notice when you see that it's a chiasm, you're expecting kind of like a bow tie, the little thought to end there. And of course, it does. There's a switch now in the next verse. Okay? So verse 25, Hazevachim u'mincha, higashtem li ba'midbar arba'im shana beit Yisrael. Okay, that hey is actually an interrogative hey. And you will see from the context why that is. Zevachim is sacrifices, and mincha, gift, namely the gift offerings that they would give as part of their worship. All right. And now the verb is higashtem. From Nagash. It means to bring near. Everybody see that this is a hifil perfect? Mm-hmm. You brought near to me. So it's a question, did you bring near to me? All right? And the objects are zevachim and mincha. That's why you have the object fronting the verb. So, in English, we would say, did you bring to me, or bring near to me, sacrifices and gift? Okay? And if you look at 25b, they suggest it. There's no textual support for that being added, but that's what they suggest. Okay? Now notice how it finishes up the thought. I mean, Kelly, again, notice how different it is than the structuring of 24. Ba-midbar, in the desert, arba'im shana, 40 years. All right? Remember when you have a common word like shana followed by arba'im or a plural like this, a, you know, greater than 10, it tends to be singular. And then you have the vocative, O house of Israel. So, did you bring near to me sacrifices and gift in the desert for 40 years, O house of Israel? It's a rhetorical question. He notice he's trying to make the point that of their idol worship and their faithlessness here. Okay. Verse 26. U nesatem et sikut malkekem ve et ki yun zal mechem kokav elohekem asher asitem lakem. All right. But you lifted from nasa. We could probably say you carried would be better. You carried sikut malkekem. Sikut, your king. Okay, sikut. Most commentaries suggest that this is really Sakut, which is a Syrian god of war. And another name for him is Adar, A-D-A-R. So you carried Sikut, your king. It's pointed this way, some commentaries suggest, because this Ketul form. So you see it with gilul, which means excrement or dung, and you see it with shikuts, which means a detestable thing. So they're suggesting that the Masoretes pointed it this way as a pejorative, you know, that they're already kind of condemning these false gods. There's another one here, notice kiyun, is like kayan or something like that. Again, it is a name for Saturn, the god. Okay, notice that Zal Mekem, that's a noun, Zelem, and means your images. Okay, so notice that the pause is there. So if we translate up to that point, but you carried Sikut as your king and Kiyun, and now both of these is referring to your images, your idols. Okay, so notice how the syntax is a little jagged because he's referring both to Kiyun and Sikut as the idols that they carry. See, so you carried Sikut as your king and Kiyun, your idols. Okay? Now notice the next phrase, Kokav Elohekem. That's referring to Kiyun, Saturn probably, the star of your gods. Alright? Which you made, Asitem Lakem, for yourselves. Does everybody see how that goes? I mean, the syntax is a little jagged, and it doesn't have the resonance that verse 24 has. Notice, let justice roll by waters and righteousness like the sea. Notice how nice and memorable that is, and short and snappy. Now when he's talking about the gods, he gets kind of unwieldy and clunky and long-winded and everything else, see? He doesn't want it to be prosaic. He wants it to be kind of rough to get through because in a way it has an effect on you of the other ones make your heart sing. Notice how it forms your desire. Oh, that's a great thing, whereas this is not good. It's reflected, I think, in the way he talks about it. So you carried Sikut, your king, and Kiyun, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. Okay. Verse 27, our last verse for today. Vehigelti et kem me hal'a le damasek amar Adonai Elohei Tzevaot Shemo. So, Gala means to reveal as you know it, but there's another meaning to go into exile. Here's the Hifil, I will exile you. So ve higleti, I will exile you. Me hala le Damasek. That Damasek is Damascus, and hala means beyond or further. So from beyond in relation to Damascus. So we would translate beyond Damascus. So notice he's talking about the scattering of the nations, the exiling them. Says the Lord, the God of hosts, Elohei Zevaot, the Lord of hosts is his name. Yahweh, the God of hosts, is his name. All right? Good. Any questions about that section?
I have one question.
Yeah.
On 26, it looks like it's called perfect that starts it.
Yes.
But ESV translates it in the future. You shall take up Sukkoth with your kingdom.
See, most translations, I mean, notice that in the previous verse he's referring back to the 40 years in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, most translations will translate it according to the Higashtem. You brought near to me. See, mm-hmm. Did you bring near to me in the desert these 40 years? You carried Sukkot, your king. Now, it's also possible, given that he's predicting the exile, that you can translate this Vav plus perfect as the future. You will carry them. Yeah. Your God, the star of your gods. And that makes some sense, too, given that Assyria is the threat that's going to demolish them.
Right.
And he follows it up with the Vehigleti. And maybe, you know, on second thought, I would probably favor that translation. Good. Any other questions? All right. Thank you guys very much, then. And we will start chapter 6. It's a good place for us to stop.